Blog Talk Radio. We are now live in the Blog Talk Radio studio. Welcome to Vyatta's Tiny House Village. Here I am in the village. And welcome to Blog Talk Radio, the female solution. I've got a fabulous, fabulous guest for you today. We're talking coffee. I'm mostly a tea drinker, but every now and then I love to have a little decaf coffee to just breathe in life, enjoy the life that I live, which is fabuloso. Now, you might notice I'm donning my cosmic curls this morning. Every now and then, I just have to show my cosmic curls. I love wearing beautiful, colorful cloths on my hair, though, because I had a long period during my life where I covered my whole head in the Hebrew Israelite community tradition. I'm not in that tradition anymore, not in that religion anymore, but I am into just lovely, beautiful, colorful cloth over my head. But today, I notice my gray is really starting to come in. My silver is really starting to come in, and I just want to show my silver a little bit because it is taking forever for silver to show up. I'm almost 70 years old, but yet here it is. There it is. It's a little silver. And I love it. I love it because I am not the age that I've lived on this planet. I am so much younger now. In fact, I am living like in my 20s. The energy I had in my 20s, I would say I now have in my late 60s. But you are here today joining me for Vyatta's Tiny House Village, but the many benefits of coffee. We're going to talk about that with Brandon Irving. He's the CEO of Brew Brothers, Black Brew Brothers, a company that I ran into. Black Brew Bros Coffee. I was having a conversation this morning with my grandchildren at the breakfast table about the word bros. It's such a typical overused word in my opinion, but I would say it's a marketing genius to put it in the name of your business, Black Brew Bros Coffee. Bro, hey bro, hey bro. Everybody is bro. And you hear it all the time. So I'm relating to, even my grandchildren are bro this, calling me bro, hey bro, oh bro. Bro, are you kidding, bro? What, bro? So we're in a bro world, and the bros are coming today to talk about coffee. And in the meantime, we got to do some joint rolling. And I have some great audios or videos about coffee. You're going to hear today about Kenya. Kenya has a very interesting history about coffee. We all should know about Kenya's coffee history because it mirrors what's going on in the Middle East with Israel and Gaza. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit before Brandon comes on. Brandon will be on a little later in the show. And we're going to talk about coffee, and more coffee. And for because 85%, this is the statistics, 85% of the United States of America drink coffee. So it is big business. So we want to talk about being an entrepreneur as a coffee person, the coffee business. What a great idea when 85% of the people are drinking it. So anyway, let us breathe in the mind of joint rolling this morning. Why? Why should we? When I told my guest, about joint rolling, he laughed. He said, joint rolling? Of course, Brandon. Why would we want to do joint rolling? Because three major reasons, if you're new to health and well-being with Fiata, joint rolling we do to increase our circulation, improve our circulation, to help our lymphatic system drain all over, and to build up our immune system. That's just three ways. It's not the only ways you can get those things moving. But that's three of the benefits of joint rolling. And then, of course, the breath. Breathing in and out deeply, not just your regular breathing, but breathing, taking deep breaths in the moments of stress, deep breaths in the moments of challenge. It also improves your circulation, your immune system, and your lymphatic. Just one big system that pumps, and moves things around. We're all energy. So that's why I have introduced you to joint rolling. And I encourage you all to joint roll before you get out of bed. My routine is I open up my eyes, and often the birds are singing by the time I open my eyes, if it's not 3 a.m. Although I have had birds actually singing like 3 or 4 a.m, which was weird. But most of the time it's 6 o'clock-ish when the sun's about to come up and the birds are singing. When I open my eyes, I get a smile on my face. Wow, thank you, birds. I'd rather have birds wake me up than an alarm clock. Breathe in and smile while I'm still in the bed. Smile and give thanks. I give thanks for a new day. Gratitude is one of the highest vibrations that you can carry and activate that will heal the body. Just stay in gratitude about the good, the bad, and the ugly. My grandchildren were sharing something about how their mom got upset when somebody was trying to get in a parking space that she was trying to get in. And so we talked about reactions versus responses. And how would you react? How would you act even if someone was trying to take your parking space and you were trying to get in there at the same time? Would you be in a mode of cursing and anger, or would you be in the mode of gratitude? It's a test. It really is. Because how you respond or react will determine how your body responds and reacts inside of you, whether you're going to produce cortisol or more stress hormones, or whether your body will stay in peace and calm. I encourage you all to practice responding to every situation with gratitude. You'll have more energy. Whatever diseases you're dealing with will start to heal and dissolve because gratitude shows in consciousness. And this journey is all about consciousness. I'm learning that at my age. Consciousness is understanding why we need to respond versus react, because consciousness says there are consequences to every action and every word. It's called karma. It's just called life. So we encourage you to respond this morning with smiles. Deep breathing, deep breathing. Exhale. Deep breathing. Inhale, inhale. Exhale. Inspire. Inspire, inspire. Expire. Inspire. Inspire, inspire. Expire. That's the French word for inhale and exhale. Inspire, expire. Isn't that a kind of a lovely tune? Inspire makes you, remind you of inspire. Inspire. When you inhale, you inspire all the organs and cells in the body temple. Inspire, I'm inspiring every cell, every organ to be whole and healthy. I am love. I am healed. I am Braveheart. That's a phrase used by Dr. Daryl Wolf, who I follow on Facebook and the internet. Inhale, inhale, inspire, inspire all those cells, inspire all the blood, the lymphatic system, and expire, expire. Let go, let go, let go of all the negative emotions. Let go of all the resentment, the fear, lots of fear out there, Layton. Wars and rumors of wars, the scriptures have talked about this for ages, wars and more rumors of war. We don't really know what's going on, but when people keep talking about there's a war going on, they're dropping more bombs, we are choosing peace this morning, peace. Inhale, inhale, inhale with me. Exhale. Inhale, inhale, hold it, hold it. Exhale. Learn to practice inhaling and exhaling in every situation that says you, that challenges you. Practice inhaling, inhale in your bed, exhaling. And then when you're out there on the streets, it'll come naturally. Inhale, inhale, and exhale. Calming the body, keeping the body in homeostasis, where all the organs are working together like a symphony. How about that? Let's play a symphony this morning, and let's get this body moving. Even if you're in a wheelchair, you can move your, if you can move your wrists, your arms, raise those arms, lower the arms, raise the arms, lower, roll the wrist around, roll the elbows, wiggle your toes if you can. Just let's keep it moving. So I'm going to play Time for Healing by The Sounds of Blackness. I sometimes get a email from YouTube or somebody that I've infringed the copyright laws on a particular video or music, but I always dispute it now because, number one, I don't think they have time to even do the research to answer the dispute. 9 times out of 10, they come back and say, we've released the dispute, no problem, because all of the videos I play, all of the audios I play are for educational purposes only. I'm not trying to make money. I'm not trying to steal from anyone. It's for educational purposes only, and that's called fair use. And I use that a lot on this show because I'm all about edutainment. If you're not being educated, why bother? And you want a little entertainment now and then because it's fun, right? So let's get busy because we got a guest coming on later and I don't want to keep him waiting too long when he shows up. It's Time for Healing. The Sounds of Blackness. Don't own the rights to this music. It's for education. Actually, this music is for entertainment only. Of our body, the entertainment of our body. So if you're new, we start with a head roll, a shoulder roll, back and forth, and then we get on our back, kick our legs up, and do our ankles and wrists, rolling, 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 our elbows, knees, and our hip joints. And then we come back and do some tapping, and get our vagus nerve stimulated along with the breath. Every step of the way, let's remember to breathe in and activate all these organs. So let's do it. Time for healing. All right, let's put stress and roll over here. Slowly. Let's roll the other way. All right, let's come. The shoulders, back, pulling back, forward, breathing in as and out. Let's just go swimming. Life. This is giving your spinal cord a massage. And what that does for your spine is it opens up the disc. When you are actively moving your spine, your upper body, you're opening up the disc, and then energy flows better throughout your body. So now let's just rub the bottom of your feet and your hands together, because that's where all the meridians are, and that's going to move energy again throughout your body. You want to keep it moving. Keep the energy moving in your body. You're not dead yet. So let's, all right, move, roll over to one side. Push up, and we did the first part really well. All right, give yourself a hand and rub those hands together. Let's rub the hands together, rub the hands together. Take a deep breath in and out, warming up the hands so we can get our vagus nerve stimulated. Hands on the back of the neck, squeeze and release. Squeeze and release. Ooh, that feels good. Squeeze and release. Vagus nerve stimulation here. Inhaling, inhaling, and exhaling. Massaging the back of the neck. Now, let's just move down to, on the shoulders, giving a little massage, flapping the inner elbow. What this does on your body, I've learned this over the last several months, is get your circulation moving. Your circulation, this improves the lungs as well. But when you flap anywhere on your body, it can help relieve pain. You can do it gently, cup your hands. But just flap, flap, gently give it. It's a love flap all over the body. Wherever you have pain, just flap, flap, flap. In love, not beating up on yourself. And then try the other side, same area. This area especially is moving your circulation. Flap, flap, flap. Pain anywhere, just flap, flap, flap. And keep it moving. This area right in the middle of your chest, your thymus gland, is your big immune system booster. Always give that a pat. You know, if you're in stress, you put your hand there, and that's because it's naturally wanting attention when stress comes. Boost your immune system. Be sure and give your boobies a little massage. They love being touched by you, first of all. Touch, touch, touch. You are the one who should be giving your body love first, not anyone else. And then go around the navel. This is another method of increasing the blood flow in your body, and especially in your second chakra, your reproductive, or just circle around your navel. Breathing in and out. Breathing in and out gives your whole body a boost, and especially particular areas in the body. Breathing in and out, breathing in and out, breathing in and out. And then let's don't forget your kidneys and your adrenal glands are back here. Give them a little love tap. Thanking your kidneys. Thank your kidneys. Thank your kidneys and your adrenal glands doing all that work. Love you, love you, love you, love you. Woohoo! All right, we did it. How are you feeling now? If you've been doing the joint rolling, you should feel a little bit of release, a little calm coming over your body, and maybe even a little stimulation before the coffee comes, right? All right, so we're going to move now to the studio, and you get to see my ceiling where I have plants growing like crazy on the ceiling. They're growing all the way across the ceiling and then my fence. So we are now in the Lost Bulk studio. And here we are. That's my dad back there. Welcome, everybody, to Health and Well-Being with Beata. I have a special guest this morning. Let me put up my banner. We're talking about the many benefits of coffee with CEO Brandon Erdman. I met Brandon at a farmer's market. I'm not sure. I don't think I've met Brandon, but I met his workers. And I always see a line at his booth at the farmer's market. People love their coffee. This is like 8, 9 in the morning. People lined up to get coffee. And they have several coffee stands at the farmer's market. But his is always very busy because he offers a variety of flavors with the coffee. So we're going to hear from him. And especially some of the challenges of being an entrepreneur and the fun things about being an entrepreneur. But I have some very interesting things I want to share with you about coffee. Kenya, for instance, came up in my studying of videos about the subject. And I don't know if many of you know the history of Kenya and the tutus, I think it was, the moo-moos. They had a horrible war in Kenya in the, I believe it was the 20s and 30s because of, guess who? The colonialism, the colonial, British colonial settlers, the occupiers were in Kenya. Those British and Americans, the Europeans, I'd say, the Europeans, and especially the British, have been all over Africa trying to take over the land. And what they did was use the Kenyans to produce coffee, to farm the coffee, the land and the coffee on the land. So this is the history we've been dealing with for many, many centuries now. It's been like four centuries of settler colonialism. But just a word about what's going on in the Middle East. I believe this is the last effort of settler colonialism. We're seeing what's going on in Israel as maybe the last effort to take over the native land, the people who were there first. We're seeing the last of it because the world has seen the genocide and the Holocaust situation. And now people are really starting to react, respond, whatever. We are coming to a close, I believe, of all this colonialism and settler. But coffee comes in today in the history of all this colonialism. Coffee and sugar, in fact, have played a major role. Sugar in Cuba, coffee in Kenya and other places, we can look at that is telling us a story of sorts. But let me take a quick break here, and then we're going to come back and talk about coffee and Kenya and some other transformative history of Kenya coffee and all that. So let's take a break, take a minute to get some water. It's always good after moving our body that you drink some water. I'm going to get some tea while I play a little bit of a commercial. And I hope you're feeling well. And this, again, I did not play my introduction this morning. So I'm going to do my female solution introduction. That's what I missed this morning. Where we greet our global family. We want to say welcome to all our global family. We do not forget about you. In fact, I just remembered that that's what we want to do. So let's say greetings to our global family.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing. Share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances. But most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow to get our daily updates every morning directly to your email and your smartphone. Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325. In this daily think tank, as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony, we are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahsan Wasalam. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saobona. In Senegal, Nangadek. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, Palestine, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. And may peace be upon you all. Join us live on the on-air radio network. Call 727-731-5192. We want to talk to you.
Yes, yes, yes. I want to talk to you, but I'm more than anything, I want to hear from you because I am so into healthy conversations these days. I know exactly what an unhealthy conversation is, and I experienced that about a week ago with a friend who I decided I'm going to distance myself from, because when you sit down to listen to someone for an hour, and then you try and express an opinion, and they say, no, you don't, you're interrupting me. It's like, and where am I? You have to ask yourself, what is this person's motive? And sometimes people just want to be heard. They want to vent. They want to tell you all their problems. They want to tell you their story over and over and over again. And this is the situation. I've known this person for probably over 10 years. And they're going through something in their life that's very challenging. So I went to visit, sat for about an hour listening. And the minute I tried to say something, well, you're interrupting me. And I thought, okay. So I sat and waited. And then the daughter showed up. And I tried to communicate with her, and this person was interrupting. And when I left there, in fact, I was asked to leave because I kept interrupting, even after an hour of listening. That's when you recognize the term that many people understand as narcissism. when you're only thinking about yourself and you don't want to hear from other people. And so I am here every Friday morning sharing my knowledge and my experience, my wisdom from this guy right here who taught me for all his life. And I want to hear from you. I really do. This is a platform where we can hear from you. You can press 1 if you're in the Blog Talk studio and you've called in to the 515 number. Or if you're in YouTube or Facebook Live, you can type your comments there, and I've watched those throughout the show, and I'll share them. So there's ways for you to share with me, and I really do want to hear from you. But again, 35 years or more of experience in the holistic health field has brought me to this place to share that experience with you. And I love, love, love hearing from you how you're doing, what you're doing, and how you're growing. Ah, that's my thing. I want to see people grow. And if a person's not growing, that's usually an indication that they're a little narcissistic. I have taught for several years on narcissism because I experienced personally, I studied it for over a year. When I got hit with that energy for the first time, I was in tears. I didn't understand it, what was going on, the gaslighting, meaning you're responsible, it's your fault, and the other person doesn't take any responsibility. I started to recognize after the tears and the offense and the wounds, I thought, okay, what is this about people that are always attacking, but blaming you, shaming you, and don't take responsibility? Well, narcissism is a spectrum. It's like a scale of minimal or mild narcissism to major narcissism. And if you watched my show on Sunday, I talked about O.J. Simpson and Sherman Howard, this guy right here. My dad was very, very light on narcissism. He was a father, and he was a Jim Crow survivor. And so you would expect a person of his caliber to be a little controlling about his family, his children, but he was fairly mild when I think about it. O.J. Simpson, on the other hand, he's a typical example of extreme narcissism. He was a typical, and you could study his life. I always study the lives of people who were very popular in our society to find out what was the root of their behavior, especially narcissistic behavior. So if you study O.J. Simpson's life, there's plenty of information out there. It's just fascinating to me to see how people develop that narcissistic energy, very controlling. Even they even call extreme narcissism, you know, like President Trump, he's on definitely on the scale of almost extreme. And O.J. Simpson, they become sociopaths, psychopaths, sometimes even murderers. We don't judge anybody. But if you look at a Netflix documentary called I Am a Killer, I watched about 5 episodes of that, about men and women on death row. And they always interview them and ask, what was your childhood like? Every single one of them. So you get to know how they started out being the psychopathic killers that they are, and you end up having a little sympathy for these people. Ah, what a childhood. Mostly abusive childhood, neglectful childhood. Some of them don't have that, and they still end up being narcissists. So it's all about lessons galore for us to grow. That's how I look at it. O.J. Simpson, my dad, everybody on this planet, President Trump, they got loads of lessons to teach us about growing and becoming better people. So no judgment. I'm really working today out of judgment and just say, wow, that I want to learn from that situation or that person. They're here to teach. And I believe the Creator is always giving us situations, as in the book of Deuteronomy, it says, I set before you life and death. Choose life so that you and your seed may live. When you read that scripture over and over again, as I've done all my life, Deuteronomy, I set before you life and death. Choose life so that you and your seed may live. Some of us have no idea the difference between life and death. I look at the type of food that my family puts before them every day. It's all death to me, but they don't look at it that way. That's just a small example of how people in our lives are choosing death over life. So what are you doing today? Are you choosing death over life and you don't even have a clue why you're doing or what it is? But that's how we have abundant life in your late 60s, 70s. I'm planning to grow younger every day as I choose life. And that means studying and coming to shows like this where we present to you some of the benefits of coffee and other things. So we're going to take a little break here before our guest comes on. And here's, I'm still with Melaleuca Company, doing really well. In fact, if you notice, my hair is so healthy looking. I have the shampoo that I ordered from Melaleuca a couple of months ago. And my hair is so soft. It's the biggest difference that I've experienced in a while, that my hair is really soft. And sometimes I braid it, sometimes I don't, but it still stays soft. So I'm loving this new shampoo from Melaleuca. And so I continue to share with you some of the knowledge and information from this company that is really giving us choices of life with non-toxic products. So that's why I'm sharing it. So let's take a little break here, and we'll be back after this message.
Have you ever wondered why some of the healthiest people still get sick? Or why the occurrence of learning disabilities like ADHD have drastically increased over the last 50 years? How is it that the cancer rate has gone from 1 in 8,000 back to the 1910s, to 1 in 2 today? Isn't it odd that even though we are more focused on health than ever before, that there's still been an increase in diseases, disorders, illnesses, and other conditions that destroy your quality of life? What if we told you that the very things you're using in your home to avoid these health concerns are actually what's causing? If you're the decision maker in your home, you know how overwhelming it can be to keep your family safe. Today, we'd like to welcome you and simply provide you with some important information and shed some light on some health concerns you may not be aware of. Over the last 100 years, thousands of toxic chemicals have been introduced into society because of an excessive overshot of chemicals designed for warfare in the Second World War. Today, as the 2013 documentary, The Human Experiment, states, quote, 42 billion pounds of toxic chemicals enter into commerce every day. That amount would fill up 623,000 tanker trucks. And as we speak, there are over 80,000 such chemicals on the market in the U.S. Over the last half century, chemical usage has gone up by 200%. And it isn't until there are enough people hurt by these products that there are even questions raised. Was there sound of lawyers? On July 12, 2018, the well-known grocery store brand of talcum and baby powder company, Johnson & Johnson, was ordered to pay a $4.6 billion lawsuit. As it was said, they knowingly covered up asbestos in their products for over 40 years, and we have been trustingly using it on ourselves and our most precious of all, our newborn baby. As parents, we work hard to keep our families safe and healthy. We diligently try to choose the best brands at the grocery store for our families. After all, keeping a clean home is an important part of good health. But is it possible that cleaning your home is dangerous? 7.3 million American couples have trouble conceiving or carrying a pregnancy to term. This is a 49% increase since 1988. Recent studies have shown that babies that do make it to term are being born pre-polluted, with up to 28 harmful chemicals in their blood, with indicators that over 400 more were present, all without ever eating food, drinking water, or even breathing air. It just doesn't make any sense. Studies show that in 1999, one in 500 kids had autism. Today, it's one in 59. But the effects don't stop there. As of 2013, the increases over the last 45 years show that life-threatening birth defects has increased 100%. Genital deformities in baby boys has increased 122%. Asthma has increased 80%. Leukemia in children has increased 74%. And ADHD has increased 53%. A 20-year independent study was done by the University of Bergen in Norway. This study started closely tracking a population of 6,235 women and men. They tracked the typical use of home cleaners and how they affect lung tissue of those who use them over a long period of time. Over the course of the study, the participants answered questions about their usage of cleaning products and had their lung capacity tested regularly. In May 2018, the study was published in the American Journal of Respiratory and Critical Care Medicine, which generated global media attention, because their findings from the study clearly showed the significant damage had been done to lung tissue, and that by using national brand cleaners, even only once a week, had the same effect as smoking a pack of cigarettes a day.
Now, imagine that some of the products that people are using in their homes has the same effect of smoking a cigarette. And that was something that was new to me at one time. And that's why I started looking at labels, reading things. So I have for you a list of companies. I found, someone sent this to me actually on Instagram. Someone posted this on Instagram about the companies that have been bought out by big corporations. Let me see if I can pull this up. No. Some of the that have been bought out by big corporations, and I'm, if you can't see, here's a list of who's been sold out. And I'm going to read it. Some of them, natural product companies that have been sold out or bought. And I think you should be aware of this. If you have been one who is switching over to what you think are healthier products, well, you're being fooled, really, because what's happening is, let me just bring me up here. What's happening is the big corporations are gobbling up the smaller ones, and we don't really know what they're putting in the products anymore, because there's a conspiracy out there, you might say, to weaken the population, weaken humans, so that they, the pharmaceutical companies, can make money. So I'm going to just read you from this list the natural companies and who they are now owned by. These might be from, you might be familiar with, for instance, Burt's Bees. Burt's Bees is now in Walgreens. You can, used to be Burt's Bees would only be in health food stores. They're everywhere now. So they're making more money, but they're bought out by, guess who, Clorox, the maker of bleach, Procter & Gamble. New Chapter Vitamins. This was a shock to me. I worked in the vitamin, a vitamin store for 10 years. New Chapter was one of the best products that we sold in that health food store. But now it's owned by Procter & Gamble, same people who make Clorox. So Seventh Generation, you know, you see those laundry products. That's owned by Unilever. Toms of Maine. You said, Toms of Maine is a very popular toothpaste that now has fluoride galore. It's hard to even find Toms of Maine that doesn't have fluoride. It's owned by Colgate now. Colgate doesn't think twice about putting fluoride in toothpaste, so you're not going to get a healthier product with Toms of Maine anymore. Garden of Life. This was a shocker. Garden of Life was this very small company that produced these whole vitamins. Whole food vitamins, now they're owned by Nestle's, the big chocolate company. E-Cover. E-Cover is a laundry and soap product now owned by S.C. Johnson. Native is a natural brand now owned by Procter & Gamble. This is I'm not even familiar with, but it was a natural company owned by Procter & Gamble. Schmidt's Naturals, owned by Unilever. Somebody might look up Unilever. They're actually, they're really gobbling up. Nutranext, owned by Clorox now. Renew Life, oh my goodness. Renew Life was very popular with parasite cleansing formulas, owned by Clorox now. Now, what do you think they're up to with that one? The Laundress, owned by Unilever. Cascadian Farms. That's good because I think they produce organic milk. Owned by General Mills now. Cashew, owned by Kellogg's. Light Life Foods, owned by Conagra Foods. Odwalla, I think it's a candy bar. That's now owned by Coca-Cola. Vans Natural Foods, owned by Hillshire Brands. Naked Juice, they're very popular in all the grocery stores. Green juices, now owned by Pepsi. Energy Brands, now owned by Coca-Cola. Blake's All Natural Foods, owned by Conagra. Food Should Taste Good, that's the label, now owned by General Mills. Honest Tea, now owned by Coca-Cola. Annie's All Natural Foods, all now owned by General Mills, not so all natural, and Method, owned by S.C. Johnson. So that's where we are, folks, in terms of trusting the products that you're putting in your home or your body. The trust is gone. You're better off either making your own or finding a company like Melaleuca that makes all their products are made in the United States, and they have a cosmetic company that I believe is actually, they make some of the products in Europe. But most of Melaleuca, they employ thousands of people right here in the United States, and they do spend more money on product quality versus no advertising other than the people who are members, like myself. But no advertising, no big names like the Kardashians promoting their products. They depend on the members to promote their products. And they use the money that they save on advertising and on overhead is used to make quality products. So consider Melaleuca, a switch to that over all the other brands that you thought were natural that are no longer natural. So I want to get into a little history before my guest comes. Of coffee. Kenya has played a major role in developing what we now know as the coffee business. So let's look at a little history. I do not own the rights to this video, and this video is for educational purposes only. It's meant as a fair use moment here to learn a little bit more about the transformative history of Kenya coffee. And then I'm going to show you another one. If our guest doesn't come on right away, I'm going to go right into another informative video about coffee in Kenya. But this one is especially important as we think about what is going on in the Middle East and how it has mirrored the history of Kenya actually mirrors what we see going on in the Middle East.
I'm a historian of Africa. I also work on European colonialism, imperialism, and I teach courses in Notre Dame on the history of Africa, the history of European empires, and history just more generally. In my first book, On a Certain Age, I look at ideas of age and ideas of masculinity and how those have changed over time in Kenya. My second book is called Imperial Blend, and it's the history of coffee in Kenya from its origins in the late 19th century, early 20th century, all the way up to the present. What I want from this book is for people to have a sense of as the coffee machine is dripping the coffee into the pot, what is the long history of this beverage that they're making themselves? Kenyan coffee is a particularly interesting one because it starts off as a product of imperialism. It comes to Kenya on the backs of Christian missionaries. It is part of the construction of a violent settler colonialism in Kenya. It is the number one producing export for the colony of Kenya, well until the mid-20th century. And so Kenyan coffee is steeped in a very racial, violent history, but one that dramatically transforms once Kenya becomes independent. And suddenly Africans themselves are growing coffee, and African coffee production just explodes. The Kenyan government had to sort of seek structural adjustment in the 1980s. It fundamentally changed how the coffee industry worked. And even today, you have this sort of fourth wave, or some people may even say a fifth wave of coffee production. Every small town in America now seems to have their own like boutique coffee roaster. But those folks can literally get on a plane right now. They can fly to Nairobi. They can get in a bus. They can go up into like Nyeri and parts of coffee country. And they can meet coffee cooperatives and coffee producers and essentially negotiate terms where they can bring that coffee back. We're so much more connected now to the people who make our coffee than we ever were before. Notre Dame is an incredible place to do research, an incredible place to teach. I have colleagues who are always interested in what I'm doing. They're always asking.
So that guy is a specialist in the history of Kenya. And it was a very bloody history and a very violent one because the colonialists from Britain came into that country, captured the natives like here in America and in the Middle East and forced them to do the labor to produce the coffee. So looking back, we can see why what's going on in the Middle East is the last effort. We've had a long centuries history of colonialism, settling, bringing the god to the natives and calling them either pagans or calling them terrorists, all kinds of names, to suppress them, get them to do the labor, and so forth. And coffee, interestingly enough, is another example of that history weaved into of the fabric of the world, even of how this colonialism energy is going to have to end. But the coffee continues. The good, it's like recognizing the good out of our history and promoting those things that brought comfort, peace, joy, whatever, and switching it. So my guest today is going to share with us not only the benefits, but how he became an entrepreneur. And I want to go into another informational video. Dr. Eric Berg tells us the real reason that we should drink coffee. He's going to give us some very important information about the positive side of it. Of course, we know too much of anything is not good, but here's a little information on why coffee is good for us.
Is to drink coffee. That being said, I'm not recommending coffee if it gives you anxiety, it increases your heart rate, and if it prevents you from sleeping. And I'm not recommending large amounts of coffee, just one cup a day. I am the human guinea pig for drinking way too much coffee. In college, I drank pots of coffee, and it really burned out my adrenals because too much coffee can increase cortisol and adrenaline. So why am I recommending coffee in the first place? Well, there's some different chemicals in the coffee itself, as well as this one chemical called caffeine. And the benefits of coffee come from both caffeine and these other chemicals. And just so you know, caffeine is a phytochemical, okay? It comes from plants. It's actually an insecticide, and it's in 30 plants. But the question is, how can an insecticide be good for us? Well, sometimes a little poison or a little stress can actually create benefits in our body. So what is coffee? Really, it's just a fermented coffee bean. That means that they're interacting with a microbe to enhance something about that food. I want to talk about these other benefits other than the one most people know. Caffeine inhibits a certain compound called adenosine that keeps us awake. It normally helps us. Well, by inhibiting that chemical, caffeine will wake you up. But let's get into some of the other things that coffee can do for you. It gives you mental opportunity. It helps you focus. It can actually help you actually eat a little bit better. It also helps the rate of metabolism. It also helps blood sugars, especially if you add some hemp oil or butter to the coffee. Get bulletproof coffee. There's some data that shows decrease your getting dementia and decrease certain symptoms related to Parkinson's disease. Even also can decrease your risk of getting gallstones, and that's because it increases the production of bile and the flow of bile. It also has properties to help prevent a kidney stone. There's data to show that it has anti-cancer properties, which is interesting. And no, I don't think just drinking more coffee is going to get rid of your cancer. It has anti-inflammatory properties, hepatoprotection properties. It's basically protection against your liver. There's certain things in coffee, like polyphenols, that help feed your microbiome. There's a condition called postural hypotension. Basically, you stand up and your blood pressure drops, right? You feel dizzy. Coffee can help that.
So those are just a few of the good things about this drink. What surprised me was the fermentation part about it. I had no idea that coffee was a fermented product, which would go into microbiome. But we're not going to do that because my guest is in the green room, and I don't want to keep him waiting because this brother is busy. Hey there, Brandon.
How are you?
I am great. How are you? I want to bring make your picture. Let's see if I can get you bigger because we want to see your face. There we go. All right, everybody. Welcome, Brandon, to the show. And where are you in Orlando or what part of Florida are you in?
Yeah, so we're in Orlando, up towards the area of like Claremont or Mineola. Yes,
okay, Claremont, that's where my ex and my son live. My youngest son lives with his dad in Claremont. I was telling everybody that I met, I got introduced to your company at the farmer's market in Winter Garden. I don't think I've ever seen you there, though.
I'm back and forth. We're everywhere. So we're just trying to, you know, build and get as much structure as possible. So we do about 300 to 500 events per year.
Wow.
So we're everywhere. Like this week it's 7 events, next week it's 9. So just trying to get around.
So you got a good team though.
Yeah. Yep. And adding on more, always hiring.
Okay. So Brandon, I'm going to be showing this show to my grandchildren because I'm really encouraging them to look at options other than college. I'm like, no, their mother is like, you got to go to college. They're only 7 and 9 now. They'll be 8 and 10 in June. But I'm like, no, there's so many options. So, Brandon, tell us, first of all, about your childhood a little bit, because I'm always curious how entrepreneurs end up in this type of business and on this journey where you are your own boss. So what was your childhood and family like so our listeners can really get a sense of how you've grown and your progress?
Well, my parents are married. They've been married the whole time, no divorce. I grew up in Miami, so raised in Miami. And then I want to say 97-ish, we moved over to Tallahassee. So a big city, a little smaller city. My mom is Jehovah's Witness. My dad's a Christian. So, had a good life, so to say. Nothing crazy. My dad was a police officer. My mom was a housewife. My dad worked for City of Miami Police Department. He had to get out of there and move up to Tallahassee. I have one older sibling, my older brother. He's at the market sometimes as well. And, we grew up as Jehovah's Witnesses. We went to school, regular school, and then we went to homeschool roughly after that.
I think with the religion of Jehovah's Witness, that's kind of what kind of got me somewhat to where I am now.
Really? Why so?
Yeah, because the you know, it's more of going from door to door and, you know, being able to, you know, talk to every person of every race about, you know, Jehovah himself. I'm no longer Jehovah's Witness, but I think a lot of that came with public speaking. That's a big thing. You know, it was one of those. So that's kind of like where what I get out of it to a certain extent.
That's really fascinating. You know who I think about when I think of Jehovah's Witness? George Benson, the guitar player. He's my all-time favorite. He's on my iTunes. I play whenever I get depressed, stressed, whatever. George Benson comes on and lifts my spirits all the time. All through college, George Benson was the go-to for me. So he's a Jehovah's Witness.
Okay.
And never any scandal about him. I have never heard anything bad about George Benson. He's got to be in his 80s maybe by now. Still playing that guitar. So Jehovah's Witness is a great foundation, I think, for many people to develop whatever they need to develop. So I'm happy to hear that you had a very positive experience. Now, when you say you're no longer a Jehovah's Witness, what have you evolved to at this point?
I'm just a Christian, to be honest with you. No particular religion to that extent. Just Christian. I do believe in God. I do pray a lot. But to go to church, not right now, due to the fact of, you know, everything that, you know, I have going on. And you'll see the team out there working at the markets, but I do the roasting, the bagging, the K-cupping through all of our different teas and coffees, and also, you know, the meetings and the conferences with you know, bigger organizations. Some things we do sponsorships. It's a lot. So that's why I'm not saying I don't have the time the time to go to church, but not right now.
You know, listen, there's no judgment here, sweetheart. I was born in the church, in the Church of God in Christ. My grandfather was a pastor. So literally from the time I was an infant, I was in the church listening to his preaching. And nature is my church now. I don't go to a building. I don't do that anymore. I did that for 50 years probably or more, being in that congregation. And I'm a Bible student, and I've studied the Bible all my life, basically, from the time I was a child, hearing it preached, reading it. And I would say during my marriage of almost 40 years, the Bible was the relief I would get from the stress of my relationship sometimes with my spouse. So no judgment at all. I think people should evolve from religion into spirituality, which means connecting with nature for me. I love nature. In fact, I'll tell you a story. I pick blueberry. There's a blueberry farm. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's right in between Ocoee and Winter Garden, actually. And my grandchildren love to go there. I went there last week, in fact, earlier this week, because I was running out of blueberries. And there's nothing like fresh blueberries. I did a fast on blueberries for a whole day. I wasn't hungry. I did put them in my smoothie. No hunger whatsoever. It was like weird, not weird, but wonderful. But while I was picking blueberries, a dragonfly landed on the leaf in between the blueberries and the leaf, and it was gold. I've never seen a gold dragonfly. And it was almost translucent. It had, and I have a picture of it, but it's hard to, and it had gold fiber running through the wings. And I'm like staring at this. I couldn't believe. And then right over the dragonfly was a cluster of rainbow-colored blueberries. If you know anything about blueberries, when they're not ripe, they're red or yellow, and then they'll turn blue when they're ripe. Well, there was a whole cluster of rainbow-colored blueberries over the dragonfly, and
wow.
then it was reflected on the dragonfly's wings. I was like, this is the type of thing that's orgasmic for me. It's like, oh, my goodness, what is this? And so I'm like, oh, I hope he stays still. I hope he stays still. So I got my phone out. I had my backpack. I got my phone out, and I was 8 feet for at least a minute while I was trying to get my phone and took a picture. That's my church now.
I got you.
My relationship with the Creator is all about the messages and the communication and the interactions I have in nature. And that includes the sun, the moon, the stars. So I'm proud that you say you're no longer a Jehovah's Witness. You don't identify with that religion because it's a religion. It's a denomination. But now you are practicing, I would say, the principles of the Bible. Is that not true?
Correct, yes. With no church affiliation.
How do you do that as an entrepreneur? How do you do that in your business based on your biblical church foundation? How do you carry what you learned into your business now as an entrepreneur? Because I want my grandchildren to know that the things you learn as a child, you're going to carry into your business, and that's how you'll be successful or not. So tell us about the transition from religion to, okay, you're now an entrepreneur. You got to do business, but you don't want to be stealing and cutthroat and all that. But so what is your what are the principles you're using now, and how do you manage the stresses and all that of being an entrepreneur?
You know, I definitely believe that, honesty and, treating people right, I'm 100% on that one. That with my staff as well, trying to develop some of them to actually be, more presentable and, just honest and, so no stealing. We don't condone any of that, but, I do give, a couple of chances, because you're going to go through different things in life, deal with different people from all different backgrounds, and, so that's kind of how we have, sorted that out. But being an entrepreneur is it's a crazy world. It's like gambling to a certain extent. You're taking a chance on life or your next step, and I wouldn't say so far so good. Some ups and downs. It definitely makes you question your next step or your next move. It's a lot of stress. You have to deal with a lot of people, a lot of different organizations, and then customer service. We're in a coffee world, so it's like you don't make something right, or you put a whip on something, it's not supposed to have a whip on it. People tend to they want what they want, and they want what they pay for, and we have no problem with giving them exactly what they want. it is a lot of stress, but.
Okay, so how did you decide? Did you go to college?
Partially.
Good for you. My kind of people here. Okay, no college. High school graduate, I assume. Yeah, mom and dad definitely weren't going to make that happen. So what is it that made you decide to go into coffee? Were your parents big coffee drinkers? How did that happen? Why coffee?
I was working for a company called One Blood. And at that time, every morning I would get up and have everyone's pretty much kind of go-to with Scafford Bustelo. And as I tasted it, it kind of got into the world of, the espresso, and I understood the taste was bitter and burnt, so then I started to do my research on coffee beans. At that point in time, a friend of mine, he was doing roasting, so then at that point in time, he taught me how to roast, which was... That right there was a very expensive lesson due to burning beans and over-roasting and that type of thing. I guess we'll get into that one. But that kind of went into just the kind of taste and development of coffee. Then I got a hold of the Arabica bean, and that was basically from buying store-bought coffee beans and being able to see what's available. So it was a Don Omar, I think it was, and it was 100% Colombian, 100% Arabica. So when I looked in that top of that can, it was light brown. As I went through the can, started to develop, like after the sixth or seventh cup, it started to get darker and more bitter. So my source of coffee is not like that. We have 100% Arabica bean. So what I started to notice, because Robusta sits on the bottom. Robusta is your commercial grade, not processed right, not dried right. It's almost like your McDonald's to a certain extent. As soon as that order comes in, it's, you know, out to you in 5 seconds. That's what kind of bean that is. So as I started doing research, I realized that you're only getting about 10 to 15% of Arabica. And on the bottom, you're getting this, you know, pennies on the dollar Robusta. Yes, it is high in caffeine, but you're not getting the best for your money, so to say. So we deal with 100% Arabica. We don't deal with any other thing. The blends that we do have is Arabica on Arabica. You're not getting as much caffeine as a Robusta, but that's the reason for the Black Brew's name, is that you can drink the coffee black in its natural state without the creamers and sugars. Now, if you go to one of our tents, we do have the different milks, the syrups, the creamers and the sugars, and that's really because, you know, that's what's popular right now. That's basically, you know, what we had to bring in order to keep up with
Starbucks.
Yeah. And they're 100% Robusta as well. So
Arabica, I heard that name when I was researching about Kenya, the history of Kenya. So does your coffee come from Africa? Or is that something that's distributed widely in the United States?
So a lot of people don't know, and this is kind of where me and my team come in on educating people about what they're drinking, is coffee originated from Ethiopia. So Ethiopia is like the first place that came up with coffee. But ours go from different places. We get grade AA out of Colombia, grade AA Ethiopian. What else do we have? We have grade AA Kona, grade AA Jamaican, the list goes on. We have like 13 different roasts, and a couple of them I've had to drop. We have Dominican Republic, that was also grade AA. One Panamanian, that one follows with the same. So it's from everywhere. And so that's what we basically do, is diversity. Our beans come from every single place, not just one place. And that's kind of how I want the business to be, to where we deal with all cultures and all races. Yep.
Is there such, what about organic coffee? Is that something you focus on or not? There are supposed to be benefits to having organic coffee.
Yeah, you can taste the difference. You can taste the chemicals when it comes to the non-organic and to the organic. The organic is, of course, sun-grown, no artificial lights. The soil has no artificial nutrients in it. And then the drying method. When it comes to Robusta or something non-organic, it's kind of like the fastest way to get it to the person's hands. And you can definitely taste. I have a couple of clients that just want, pure organic beans, like, you know, the Ethiopians, and I can get custom stuff. So Kenya AA, I just had a request for, if I can only remember the name of that one, and we were thinking about bringing it in. It'll come to me.
So is Arabica all organic or not?
No. Some of it is, some of it is not.
Okay, why is some not? What the different companies or countries? How do you know why? How does that work?
Most of the Arabica are higher altitude grown with organic soil. So most of them are organic, but you're getting, you know, the ones that aren't organic due to the fact of how quickly these farms want to move their beans, so to say.
So what do you go ahead?
Okay,
now, what do you deal with mostly when it comes to organic or not? So the difference, you say Arabica, it comes from volcanic soil, which I understand is rich in minerals and so many things.
Yep, Arabica is the way to go because you can take that bean, grind it down, put it in, you know, and brew it and drink that coffee black. You can't do that with a Robusta. And then some Arabicas aren't organic, and they have that burnt, bitter taste. The burnt basically comes from over-roasting. And then the bitter, you know, it can come from the soil that it's grown in due to the fact that it's not grown the same way as Kona and Jamaican Blue Mountain. You know, stuff like that, the more organic-based Arabica beans. And that's the reason why our prices are what they are. We're giving you exactly, you know, the taste from the country.
Quality.
Yeah.
So where's the fermentation take place? When I watch a video, okay, you got people picking the coffee beans off the branch. And then what happens after they pick? When does it get fermented? Do all coffee beans get fermented?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's an older process in Kenya then. That's what they were demonstrating.
There's sun-dried, and then there's, what's the other one? Sun-dried, which is that's all we deal with because that's the better tasting. It takes a little bit longer. You know, you have certain places that want it. As soon as it's picked, it's out. It's out to the store as fast as possible. Then you have those people that really care about the quality of their product, and you know they have a reputation and it's an estate. And that's the reason why their beans cost a couple of dollars more than the rest. That's where it goes.
So they're going to do once those beans are picked from the branch is just dry them in the sun, you're saying?
Yeah. So it actually gets dried, the hull comes off, and then it actually goes through that process, yeah.
And then do you get them, the beans already ground up, or do you get them not ground?
They come green beans, I wish I could show you. I'm not at the processing center right now. But they come in like a coffee bean, the green ones, they actually look green, more ivory looking. They have little veins thrown as well. And those are the green ones. But the initial ones off the tree, they call them cherries. And they look like cherries. Some of them are bigger or smaller, depending on the pea berry, which is the smaller coffee type. Comparison to an Arabica Robusta or a Supremo, which is one of the biggest coffee beans available. Yeah.
Right. So are your parents big coffee drinkers?
They are now.
Oh, really?
They were.
Wow. Okay.
So
when people talk to you about, well, coffee is this got caffeine and stimulants, What would you say are the benefits you like to promote about coffee?
So going back to the Robusta Arabica, Robusta, of course, has more caffeine. Like I said, it's more of a fast food type of situation to a certain extent. You're getting more caffeine, but you're also getting like a burnt, bitter taste. The Arabica is very smooth, pretty much not too much bitterness, but you do have some that have the bites, like one of our most broad, which is our Sumatra. But there's a different, there's different roasts. There's light, there's medium, there's dark. Light, you taste more of the flavor notes. Like one we have is called Ethiopian Sudamo, bringing out the blueberry that she's talking about. This one has flavor notes of blueberry, creamy, and bold. So we actually have it at one of our farmers markets at Mount Dora, and that's actually next week. It's very popular. The only thing is, it really tastes like blueberries, and it is creamy.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. It's one of our best ones, but it's seasonal. Most of the beans that we do get are only grown on 7 to 10-acre farms. So almost like our Kona and our Jamaican, those are only produced 7 times per year. So what I can get is what I can get, and that's where that goes.
No, but do you ever have people ask you, well, what are the health benefits? I see the difference in the types of coffee. I want to ask, do you do decaf?
Yeah. So that's another thing, too. So we only do the Swiss water. The other portion of decaf, and that's the reason why people kind of stay away from it a little bit, is because the regular process is a chemical base to actually take the caffeine out. The Swiss water, which is already done by the time we actually get our bean, is a water technique to actually flush out 99% of the caffeine. And you can taste the difference. If you taste the decaf that doesn't have the Swiss water, you're definitely tasting that chemical complex on the palate. And it makes it, you're getting that bitterness and that chemical taste. So not a lot of people deal with the decaf unless it's Swiss water. And we've had a lot of, so we give samples out at the markets for the D2 show, because people will come up and they'll say that they can only drink decaf, but the decaf that they tried aren't flavorful. But it's rich in walnuts and honey, and we give them a sample, and they're like, oh, wow, wow. And then organic on top of that. So
it's rich in walnuts, did you say?
Yeah, the one we have is walnuts and honey.
Wow.
It's one of my richest coffees, too, to be honest with you. Yeah.
So what does that mean? You're putting walnuts in the...
No. there's a science behind it. So the higher altitude grown in the volcanic soil in different countries produces certain flavor notes. Like if you look at Colombia and Supremo, Supremo is the bigger coffee bean. But the Colombian Supremo flavor notes are normally honey and cherry, and you'll see that in a lot of their bags. If you go towards some of the Hawaiian regions with their coffee, you're dealing with molasses, coconut. Let me see what else. Your Ethiopians is more of your lemon and honey. Sometimes you can get the rare one that we have that's actually blueberries, and that one's called Ethiopian Sodalo. We have another Ethiopian that's a dark roast that's lemon and honey, and that one's extremely pungent in lemon. But these are all natural flavors. Some people I've dealt with, companies that's actually trying to work with us now, they actually do the oil infusion through the roasting process. So that's like your hazelnut coffees or creme brulee or some kind of, you know, holiday season, you know, type of coffee. And the oils are produced on the beans, excuse me, and they're actually soaked into the beans in order to produce like a tiramisu to a certain extent. We don't do that. Oils through the roaster actually mess up the roaster. So we don't do anything that's, you know, those machines, they're not cheap. So, you know, I didn't want to go that route. But those are natural flavors.
So if I come to you and I say I'm really a natural person, I drink tea all the time, and I'm not sure about coffee because I don't like caffeine, and how would you convince me that maybe I should become a coffee drinker? What for me it's about, what are the health benefits? How is it going to improve my liver, my mind, my, you know, what do you think coffee's major advantages and benefits are for someone like me who's been like trying to stay healthy? Why would I want to add coffee to my diet?
It depends on, you know, your flavor and taste to initially start with, whether you want to taste the coffee or you do not. If you do not want to taste the coffee, you want to taste more of the flavor notes, it's more of a light roast. So right in the middle is pretty much where we'll go to. Coffee also has a lot of anti-inflammatory uses as well. And then you definitely want to go with the Arabica comparison to the non-Arabica or the Robusta ones, just because you know that the farm itself has taken very good care with, you know, what's being planted, grown, and then also the process of it. Energy, you're not really, doesn't really sound like they're really, because tea only has like 30 milligrams. Caffeine or coffee itself can go, the Arabica bean is somewhere between 70 milligrams all the way up to 500 in certain states. Yeah.
Well, I have to admit, I like the taste of coffee sometimes, especially when I'm out with friends or family at a dinner, and after dinner, you know, we might be sitting around. When they offer dessert, I'm ready for coffee. Or sometimes if the dessert is really tempting, you know, it's always nice to have dessert and coffee. But I have to admit, I usually drink decaf because caffeine is really stimulating for me, and I would be asking you, well, what's the least amount of caffeine in coffee? What would you recommend for someone who gets overstimulated from coffee?
So the typical person, this is the reason why we like to educate people who come to the table. That's the biggest thing with me. I love to tell people more about what they're drinking, because the mist will have every mind thinking different. So with the roasting process, the less times that you roast, so when you get that green bean, it has the most caffeine in it. When you roast it in this lighter roast, the lightest roast has the more caffeine. The medium roast is a little bit less, and the darker roast is much less. So darker roast, you're actually tasting less of the flavor notes, more of the coffee taste, but you're also getting less of the caffeine. My research on, you know, what's selling and what's not, our darker roast sells a lot more than our lighter roast. And so that's what we've had to tell people, is that the lighter roast actually has more caffeine in it, but you're not tasting that much coffee. Light roast to me, like we have a Tanzanian pea berry, or excuse me, we had one that was lemon, peach, and black tea. So if you like tea, that's the one that we recommended you go with, but it was 240 milligrams a cup. So higher caffeine, but you're getting like your black tea, your peach, and your lemon. But it had no coffee, the complex on the flavor. That was the only thing. So, yeah, it's a difference, because, you know, everyone goes to the darker roast thinking that, you know, you're tasting this strong flavor on your palate, and you're thinking that, you know, it has the most caffeine, even with the espresso. Espresso is just the way that it's made. It's the faster way it's made, and it comes out as a, you know, thicker syrup type of shot, sort of say.
That is so interesting. I always thought the darker roast was higher caffeine, but you're saying the darker roast is lower caffeine. So Deborah has a question here. She says, blessings to you this morning. Lots of educational coffee. I'm a tea person now, but I used to drink my coffee with hot chocolate. Are all coffees made of cocoa beans?
No.
Deborah, are you listening? She says, that sounds like my kind of tea. What's the name of that tea again? Okay, so she has two questions. Are all coffees made of cocoa beans? No is the answer. And what's the name of the tea you just mentioned?
That was the one that I was telling you about, which is our light roast. It's Tanzanian pea berry. The pea berry means the smaller the bean. It's actually one cherry, like I was telling you about the red cherry, but it's actually two coffee beans in comparison to one. And that one is also African. It's also organic, but it's lemon, peach, and black tea.
Ooh, that sounds good.
But it's a coffee.
Yeah, that's it.
It is a light roast. It doesn't have as much coffee flavor, but you're definitely tasting the tea in there.
Okay, so light roast is going to have more caffeine and less coffee flavor.
Right.
Dark roast has less caffeine and more coffee flavor? Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's really interesting. That's why you're here, is to educate us on this. Because, again, I think we should all enjoy coffee now and then. I mean, my son drinks it every morning with a pen. He has a bag of white sugar on the counter. It's like, That's him. I don't have a lot of influence for a 40. He's 40-something. By the way, what's your birthday?
I'm an 85 baby, so I'm a 38, unfortunately.
Now, what's your month?
October.
Oh, October. Okay.
October
15th. My son's born 85. You look a lot like my youngest son. He's born in December of 85. To you, generation, what are you, Z, X, Y, one of those. You don't know. Never mind. But I am so honored to have the younger generation join me, because I want to know, first of all, what you're thinking, what you're doing, how you're moving forward. And what would be your advice to people your age or younger who want to get out of corporate world? What did you have to do to prepare to be the entrepreneur of Black Blue Brothers? How would you advise young people how to prepare to become an entrepreneur like yourself?
You have to take chances. With me, it was working a full-time job and then also trying to save money at the same point. I listened to a lot of Grant Cardone and a lot of other influencers to a certain extent, and that was, my basis on saving the amount of money that I did, not knowing where I wanted to go with it. I just understood that the corporate world was not for me as far as working for someone else. I will say, though, in all honesty, when you go off into working for yourself, it's a whole lot harder. But at the end of the day, the hardness makes up for, financial freedom in the long run, I want to say. And that's kind of the obstacles that we've had to endure and go through, as well as, competition and, all that. But it's worth it in the end, because you own your own. You don't have to work for someone else. I wouldn't say you make your own schedule, because initially it was making your own schedule. Now it's if you're very passionate about what you're doing and you have both feet in, I know that they don't put it all in that passion and that structure, you push. You keep pushing until you, I wouldn't say can't push no more, but, that's my thing. It's a challenge for me to keep going, because there's always somebody trying to, hold you down, that type of thing. So I just think it's a passion to keep going.
So let's talk about relationships. How do you, are you married?
No.
Any children? Which is great. Okay, so how would you advise men especially on trying to build a business and how it affects relationships? Because do you have to just totally avoid personal relationships with other people, women, whatever, or have you been able to manage that and build a business? Are you that good that you can manage being in a relationship and build a business, or do you have to kind of let one of them go?
I've had my back and forth with other entrepreneurs and business owners, and most of them don't have a significant other. It's hard. I want to say, you know, it's kind of having a relationship is like having, like building a business. You start to put a lot of time and focus into both of them, and that's hard, especially when you're working. Some days I work, you know, 48 hours straight. So, you know, it's different. It's definitely different when it comes to relationships and business, trying to incorporate the two together. I want to say that, you know, it's hard because when you think of them, you say, oh, which one's more important? One's my livelihood, and the other one's, you know, significant other. So I don't know what to say on that one. I hate to say pick one.
Well, I think you're at an age where you need to sacrifice personal relationships to build your future income stream and your business, your wealth, all of that. And I'm applauding you again for making it's a sacrifice, wouldn't you say?
Right.
To leave off, and I'm sure you're an attractive man. You probably have women who want to be in a relationship with you, but you know, what do you say to them when they say, "Well, but can we go out or can we do that?" How do you express to them that I'm a businessman and I got, you know, this is more important? Do you ever go out on dates or what? No dates even either.
No, I'm fully committed to what I do, but I think, you know, going off to the other topic on, I was going to say something on that one, but I just feel like this is where this is at, you know. If you take a day off, you know, with this, you come back and there's 50 emails, you know, from, you know, catering or this person wants a COI or, you know, you have... The thing is, too, with balance in life and taking trips and all that stuff, I've been in for 3 years, and I took my first vacation last year with my family for a week. So it takes a toll on you, and you have to, at some point in time, try to find balance for your life as well as this. And, you know, that's the thing, too, time doesn't come back around. You know, you definitely need to, you know, try and live life and don't let the business consume everything. But especially when you're trying to do it on your own, you know, you don't want to hire too many people because you don't necessarily have those type of either funds at the moment, or you're trying to do everything on your own. So balance and separation to a certain extent, and then also the biggest thing to me is to avoid all distractions.
Well, our Deborah Smith, who is she's one of our hosts on the Female Solution, she says relationships are hard, but it can be done, especially if you're working together and for the same goal. So what do you think about that? She says, you can do it. You can do it. She's cheering you on. You can do it. You can do it. You got to have a relationship. What do you think about that?
I think if you can, as a business owner, I think if you can find a businesswoman who is actually, or, you know, someone that's dedicated to what she's doing, you know, career-oriented, if you can find that person, and while you're doing what you're doing, she's doing what she's doing, and you guys can balance it out, understanding both aspects, yeah, I think it is possible. But she'll be a whole lot more understanding than, you know, the person who isn't in the same boat as you are. And that's what I was going to bring up before I completely forgot about it when you were talking about it. But I think it is possible when those two things are put together.
So are you really looking for a partner, business or otherwise, or are you kind of waiting for that person?
From our relationships or business-wise?
Relationship, personal relationship.
I think when I get to that point, I will. But right now, no. it's just not the, I would prefer to keep it the way it is so that I don't, I wouldn't say hurt anyone, but I just don't, I don't have the time. There's no time for talking. There's no initial stage. There's no time for dating. This is a, you know, we get done with the festivals over the weekend. Sunday we unload. I pay out payroll. Monday is normally my day off, but lately there are no days off. It's kind of get right back to it. And like I was telling you before, some days are 48 hours straight. And this is the only way that I'm able to do a 48 hours straight, you know, that's an espresso.
All right. That's Deborah. That was Deborah's favorite. HLN, Zelda is our Monday morning host. She says, listening and loving what we're hearing. Thanks for sharing coffee details we knew absolutely nothing about. And as far as relationships, you're on point about the right woman who comes into your life has to have a life of her own. I think when you're 100% healthy, you, and she's 100% healthy, then you're going to have a great relationship. But if she's 50% in need of someone to make her happy and someone and she's in need of someone to buy her her hair and her nails and all that needy, you just keep doing what you're doing until that person shows up. Now, my son met his current girlfriend in the parking lot of Lowe's.
Oh, wow. Okay. Perfect.
And this was like after 2 years looking on dating sites and dating women, airheads, many of them. I mean, I was like, okay, who's this week? He was meeting all kind of women who were not compatible at all. And he finally just stopped the dating site and just started working on his house. And this woman he met at Lowe's, she was working at Lowe's, got her own house, all of that. And they met in the parking lot because he had to go back after he had bought something, came home, went back. In the parking lot they meet, and they're like, okay, maybe we're supposed to get together and meet. They've been together for 2 years now. She's so compatible to him. Because they laugh a lot, they do things together. They're going to London this year. Oh, they are so compatible. But he stopped. I'm telling you, he stopped looking.
Right.
He just started being him, doing what he been taking care of his house. And he's now 44, I think. Yeah, he was about 40 when he met her in his late early 40s when he met her. But he had to go through all these dating women who were not compatible.
Right.
So you, I think, have the right idea. Wait. Just wait. She'll show up.
Yeah. I definitely want, you know, the kids and all that stuff. That needs something to pass the practice. Because it's not just the coffee business. It's the tea business. And, you know, I'm getting into cooking business roughly after the coffee business. So I need someone to pass that down to. So.
Okay, so how are you managing all that stress other than your espressos? I want to ask, are you taking good care of yourself in terms of managing your stress? Because becoming an entrepreneur, like you said, you got to put in a lot of hours, but what do you do to balance all that? And Sam, I want to applaud you too. Taking breaks with your family. My journey, my sons learned early that family was important. We went to Hawaii twice together. The best vacation of our lives was going to Hawaii together and exploring like two different islands. And they weren't married or anything, no girlfriends or anything at that time. But they were very connected to their mom and dad and relatives. Their aunt was in Hawaii. So I think you have the right idea, number one, to take time out with your family and talk to your family. Support. If you get depressed, can you connect with mom and dad? Or do you have a good relationship with your brother, your sister? But what else are you doing to manage all the stress that comes with being your own boss?
So I used to do bodybuilding before I started Black Bruise, and that was more of my stress reliever. Since I started the business, everything has kind of fallen down. I'm just going to be honest about it. But now I'm in a balanced area. You know, things are more structured, and I have a team now. So I'm going to get back to working out here soon. And then also cycling as well. I think getting out and kind of just going on a bicycle and, you know, try to, you know, the weight down, also be, you know, in touch with nature and all of that, because you get consumed in and all of this, and then your mental focus goes right out the door to a certain extent. My mom tells me all the time to take, you know, a couple of days off, or, you know, get on the road and just, you know, go somewhere and, you know, kind of get away from it every now and then, just so it doesn't you know, affect you in the long run. But that's the part of being in the position that, you know, running a company on your own, you just have to find that balance, keep that mental focus. You know, eating is essential, you know, what you're putting into your body. Also the way you feel, you know, that comes out to customers and, you know, all that good stuff. So, you know, I think it's just, this year is my time, I call it.
Good.
Yeah.
And especially getting out in nature and meditating.
Right.
Quiet time, meditate. Are you a music fan? You like music?
Yeah, I like the older stuff. I don't really listen to it too much, but, you know, when I get the, I wouldn't say the time, but I like peace and quiet more than anything else.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm one of those.
Well, I want to encourage you to use music when you do get stressed. Use some music and meditation in some form or another in nature, whether it's beach time. Well, you know, yeah, we're in Florida. Driving to the beach. We got plenty of lakes around here. Lake Eola. You ever go to Lake Eola?
Yeah, on the
bus. Lots of swans to look at. And so get out in nature, Brandon. We got a caller in the studio. We got a couple of callers now. I'm going to open up the mic and see if we have a comment or a question for Brandon. 312-882, your mic is open. Welcome.
Well, and Yah Shalom, Assalamu Alaikum, Dr. B. For your guest, this is Minister Robert Floyd Plump in Chicago, and I'm the president of the Plump Music Productions. And on that question you just asked, I was wondering if he might be open to music to go with his coffee. Yes. Pleasingly plump coffee, plump and juicy coffee, and then you can have the fantastic music from the People's March Incorporation. Thank you.
Okay, did you hear that question? Are you open to music to go with your coffee?
Sure.
For commercial. For commercial.
We can definitely.
For commercials, he's saying.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a great idea.
Yeah,
thank
good.
You, Minister. To think about as Brandon.
I'm a Dr. B.
I'm sorry. What were you saying?
I was saying, ask him to get in touch with him and, with me and give him my number, please.
I'm going to pass it to you, Brandon. And maybe you all can work that out in the near future. 77397, your mic is open.
Good morning. Good morning to all. And thank you so much for talking about the coffee. I found at 6 years old or 7 years old, my dad used to say, baby, go wash that coffee pot out for daddy. And I heard that if you drink coffee, you turn black. And I always wanted to turn darker because I have these freckles in my face, but it never worked. However, I find that clean coffee, that coffee pot needs to be cleaned. I got some coffee at McDonald's one day, and something told me just open up the cup, and there was a roach on top of the coffee. And so cleaning the coffee pot makes the coffee taste better. And I'm a coffee drinker. I never turned black from it, but it's still, you know, it's something that I just drink every morning like your son. I just have to have that cup of coffee to make it through the day. Even when I was working, I had to have that cup of coffee. And so I used to take my coffee pot to, I still use the coffee pot, the old-fashioned coffee pot to this day. And I used to take it to work, and the girls used to go and steal my coffee. And so one day I put on the coffee pot, if you drink my coffee, you will die. So we have to clean that coffee pot daily in order to serve good coffee. That's what I find. So that's my suggestion. And if he's going to have any children, he better hurry up.
Yeah.
Thank you. This is Lois in Chicago.
Okay. We can comment to that, Brandon.
That last part.
I don't know about. I don't even know about bringing children into this mess we in right now. I think once this passes, all this chaos and war and craziness, good. Just give it some time, Brandon. My suggestion. Yes, you want children, right?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
So just, I would say, again, wait for the right person. Don't go out there searching because that's not good. Just wait. You have already planted good seeds of Bible principles. So you know that the Most High is looking out for you and everything's in divine order and you can just follow the principles and wait for that right person to show up. And I want to share this video about Ethiopians. I thought this was so beautiful how they look at coffee. And like you said, a lot of coffee comes from Ethiopia. They believe they were the originators of coffee.
Yeah, they are.
So I want to share this and get your comment on this, on how this can even enhance your business. Just looking at some of the culture from Ethiopia and what it means for you today.
Okay. I was growing up to see coffee as socializing between neighbors, living in the neighborhood. They gather around coffee, a cup of coffee. Usually they don't have one cup, they have three cups.
Ethiopia and coffee are intertwined. Itanji prides itself as being the birthplace of coffee, roughly discovered in the 9th century. The coffee origin story strongly influenced the culture, traditions, and methods of how coffee is made throughout the country.
There is a common legend which everybody knows them, about the goat herder who found out that his goats were acting differently from before. He was herding his goat in the Kaffa Mountains, so he followed them what they were eating to be so active and so hyper. He found out that they were having reddish berries and once they can jump around. At that time they were in the monastery nearby. So he went to the berry, tell them what happened. The apples wasn't excited, so he threw it in the fire. He roasted it unintentionally. He saw the aroma of the smell of the coffee, he had to try it. So they washed it and so they tried it. That's why we started the coffee.
Originally, it's traditional coffee in Ethiopia. Now, things started changing. We go to machine coffee. I think now I prefer machine coffee than traditional coffee. I think because it comes fast. Traditional coffee needs processing. It needs minimum of 1 hour, 1.5 hours. When you come to machine coffee, you do it in 15 minutes.
When they prepare the coffee traditionally, they have the small pots, the small glasses.
These are called tini, and it's a pretty much traditional cup that is used in Ethiopia when having coffee ceremony or drinking coffee. We have popcorn, which is also a popular snack while having the ceremony. This is called tar, which is grass. And when you're having a grand celebration like this, this brightens it up. And this is ambasha. It's a type of bread that is made in Ethiopia. It's really good. It's also another popular snack. And this is buna, which is coffee. I'm roasting it right now. And a few steps until manually grinding the coffee and then scooping the grinded coffee into a clay pot called a dibena. The whole process takes a few hours to complete, leaving plenty of time to socialize. Once done, 3 rounds of coffee is distributed to each guest.
I love the socializing around the coffee, and popcorn is my real weakness. So if I go to Ethiopia, I'm going to join some coffee people and eat popcorn. What do you say about the video like that, which I think is so positive and encourages people to socialize around the coffee? How about that?
Yes, it's waking. It wakens you up, so to say.
Uh-oh, you're frozen.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're back.
Yeah, so the screen I have now is completely still hear you, so that's a good thing. We can continue, but I think coffee is a social thing. It's a social environment. It brings groups of people together, and it's very energetic, and you kind of get this family type of vibe from it. Ethiopia was the first place that coffee originated from. So all the drying processes and, how they do, they're really big on their whole process of coffee. I've gotten some of the, best beans from them. But we started the business through COVID. So I haven't been able to go over to any of the farms and really kind of taste, that bean directly off of the plant, so to say. But I've heard a lot of stories, people telling me how great it tastes, how different it is, and how what we get here is completely a different experience.
Yeah, I used to work in the health food store Chamberlain's, if you've been in this area for a while, and the woman who was running the cafe, she would be singing over the food, and she was just so loving. And people loved her food. It was like it was regular tofu and health food, veggies, juicy. But the way her energy around that food was amazing and loving and intentional. So I think we're losing connection. I guess it's time for us to go because we're coming in and out. But I want to encourage you to keep it up with the best attitude of love in everything you do. And Naima Latif is our executive producer of the Female Solution. And she says, I wasn't a coffee drinker before, but I think I've been converted now. I have to try Black Blue Brothers coffee. Do you distribute it all throughout the country, or is it just locally?
Oh, no, we're everywhere. I've shipped off, 1,000 pounds to Germany.
Really?
Oh, yeah. We try to get anywhere and everywhere, so I can ship anywhere and everywhere. You can actually go down to the farmer's markets at each one of them if you are local and try out samples of the different roasts before you actually buy the coffee. That's something else that we offer. And then something that I will be putting on the website here soon is the smaller 4-ounce bag so that, you can taste it before you fully commit to it. But all of them are organic. All of them are 100% Arabica. We do have 2 grinds, which is the finer for the espresso, if not the drip for the regular ones. And 1 decaf, the rest of them are light, medium, and dark. But haven't had 1 complaint 3 years in business. So
wow. This is the one good thing about COVID, that a lot of people started their own businesses when we were on lockdown. Hello. So congrats. See, there's no good or bad, wrong or right. It's just your attitude and your perspective about, we were all complaining about being on lockdown and all that vaccine and all that mess, but a lot of people became their better selves. And they're creative, so they had to create something new. because they didn't have many choices. So congratulations. And your website, again, is?
BlackBrewBros.com.
Black Brew. And who came up with that name?
I did. It has a lot of people think it has to do with the color of my skin. It's basically, it was developed for drinking that coffee in its black brew. So in its natural state, comparison to the sugars and creamers. So you can drink that coffee black with no problem, no bitters, no burns. You're going to taste all the flavors in it as far as the natural notes from organic, organically grown volcanic soil, higher altitude. That's why people come by, they get those samples, they try them out, and they're like, oh, wow. That's the first reaction. We've gotten a lot of reactions online, about people who drink that coffee black and have never drank coffee black before in their life. They taste this this brand, and it's a life-changer.
Well, I'm going to have to make sure my son is aware of that because he's got too much sugar in his diet, and I don't have a lot of influence. But when I introduce him to the things like your coffee, then that's what changes his choices and his mind. So I'm grateful that you made that decision to create this awesome company. Because, my grandchildren use bro all the time. That's the most overused word. So that was a genius idea to put bro in the business name. Because it's overused now. Everybody's bro this. And they told me this morning, it's not, I said, bruh, and they said, it's bro, grandma. Did you think of that when you put bro in there instead of brothers? You could have had brothers, but brothers is old-fashioned, right?
The bros came about from, I was actually going to buy, initially, a franchise of Dust Brothers.
Oh.
They wanted way too much for what they were giving, so I didn't go through that. I just kind of made it up on my own. But the bros, it's significant now because that's how that's what we were pretty much. I wouldn't say famous for, but in those markets initially. Now we have a lot more girls than we actually have guys. So. They're bros too, I guess you could say. we're all one family.
Everybody's a bro these days. I'm a bro with my grandchildren. Hey, bro, don't do that, bro. Get with it, bro. Oh my goodness, I'm hip though. I'm with it. So, Brandon, I so appreciate you. I'll be at the farmer's market hopefully tomorrow, and I'm gonna encourage my son to start drinking Black Brew Brothers coffee because that's what he needs. So, and you're not usually not at Winter Garden though. You're off somewhere else. Do you ever go to Winter Garden?
I'm actually going back this Saturday. I need to study that market again so I can see exactly what to bring and take away to a certain extent. So I go back, but we have we'll be at Calvary this weekend, and then all of our other markets are Celebration on Sunday. As well as we do St. Cloud on Saturday. What else do we have? Claremont on Sunday, and then Lake Eola on Sunday as well.
You gotta love people to be in this business.
Yeah.
So it shows, and we appreciate you, and I hope more people are going to order your coffee. And if you're in the Orlando area, for sure, look for his booth at Winter Garden Farmers Market. You're not in Windermere. No, you're not at Windermere.
No, we have some competitors.
Yeah, there's a lot of people doing coffee there. I don't drink it there anyway. But, yeah, I'll look for you tomorrow. If you're there, I'll give you a hug. We'd love to give you a hug. Keep doing what you're doing.
I definitely thank you for this opportunity. Definitely.
Yes, we thank you for taking the time out of your very busy schedule, and I hope everyone listening will keep Brandon in your prayers, that he will continue to be successful, and most important, to be in balance, to reduce any stress, in your life. We just send lots of blessings and healing for your body, your mind, and your soul. Any resolving any conflicts quickly, and just to shine your light wherever you go, because we need it. This place needs more peace, and it needs more coffee. More coffee, more coffee. So thank you, Brandon. I'll hopefully see you tomorrow. Have a beautiful day. It's nice and sunny here in Florida.
Right.
Enjoy nature, sweetheart. Love you. And tomorrow, everybody remember, the female solution will air tomorrow at noon Central Standard Time. Deborah, move around with Deborah. She'll be hanging out at the Soulful Chicago Book Fair. See you later, Brandon.
Bye. Thank you.
All right, everybody. We're going to say goodbye. I hope I didn't miss any coffee drinker, female solution, going to help manifest your partner. Oh, Deborah is going to help manifest him a partner to build his legacy. You're filled with the gift of love. I'll share that with him tomorrow. I don't think he's ready for a partner, though, Deborah. Like, let's just let him, let her show up. Oh, listening, loving what we're hearing. Okay, you can do it. I know Zelda said something about George Benson. I think Zelda met George Benson in the 90s while working in Smooth Jazz Radio. Stopped by the radio, brother is as mellow as his music. Oh, my goodness, yes. Thank you, Zelda, for that comment. Thank you all for your comment, your love, your energy today. We're saying time to say we're over time, but I'm grateful, grateful, grateful that we went into overtime with this handsome brother and all the knowledge we've gained, and we can now take it in, breathe it in, breathe it in, take it in, and enjoy the coffee better. Now, I'm going to look for dark roast coffee now. I know better. All right. Everybody have a great day, and see you tomorrow at
We've
Mount
come
Solution,
to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, xiexie. India,
xiexie.
Annyeonghaseyo. Japan,
annyeonghaseyo.
Arigato. Korea,
arigato.
Kamsahamnida. Russia,
kamsahamnida.
Spasibo. Germany,
spasibo.
Danke. Poland,
danke.
Dziękuję.
France,
merci. Spain.
Merci beaucoup.
Gracias. Italy.
Gracias.
Grazie. Egypt.
Grazie.
Shukran. Ghana.
Shukran.
Madasi. Nigeria.
Madasi.
Eshe. South Africa.
Eshe.
Ngiyabonga.
Senegal. Ngiyabonga.
Geret.
Geret.
Asante. Israel.
Asante.
Toda. Pakistan.
Toda raba.
Shukriya. Afghanistan.
Shukriyan.
Tashakur, Saudi
Tashakur.
Arabia. Shukran.
Shukran.
Salam alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Salam alaikum. And to all my yogi friends out there, namaste, satnam, and aloha, aloha to all my friends in Hawaii. Stand strong, Lahaina. You got this in Maui. We love you. We send prayers to you for continued healing and prosperity. Everybody have a great day and keep shining your light. Shalom.